You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, yeah, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, just plain right, but just plain hot in the studio right now because ain't no air conditioning again. And Boomer's over there like sweating and threatening to get just like stripped down to his boxers right here in the studio.
I am. I'm hot.
I will not have a naked radio show. We are not doing that. Over there panting like a dog in the studio. All right. Get you a bowl of water. And just, you know, you doing good otherwise?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Oh, I do have a quick announcement.
Oh, what?
Little Dude made All-Stars baseball.
Stop it. Little Dude.
Start off the show great, right there.
Little Boomer Dude made All-Stars. Yeah. That's awesome.
So that was a good news.
Is he coming in sometime soon?
He may be coming in today.
Nice. All right. So I can give him a high five. He knows, right?
Oh, yes. He knows now.
Good. All right. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. All right. So by the way, got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock coming up here at the top of the hour. 3 o'clock, Congressman Robert Adderholt from the 4th Congressional District of Alabama will be calling in. He is a chairman of one of the major subcommittees for House Appropriations. Got his finger on the pulse of what's happening financially up there. And we're going to talk to him about this whole debt limit thing. What does it mean? What are the negotiations looking like? Is Biden going to dither his way into a default, or is he going to actually negotiate in good faith? And so we'll get it straight from Congressman Robert Adderholt, who will be on with us at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30, yeah, my favorite time, Boomer and McQueen at 3:30 today. So Boomer and his better three quarters, McQueen, will be here. We'll bandy about some ideas, talk through some topics, and just see what kind of stuff we come up with or trouble we get into, for that matter. Yeah, Boomer and McQueen, 3:30 today. And then there's a triple dipper, bar none, so get it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, I'm calling it Spend It Like You Got It. Spend it. Just spend it like you got it. Democrats are all up in arms about the very idea that Republicans who were duly elected to have a majority in the House are demanding that we start cutting spending. Wow. They just want to keep upping that credit card limit. You know what I'm saying? Well, not wisdom, not wisdom at all. Spend it like you got it. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. We'll talk about it. Number two, I'm just calling it, and they're off, just like the start of a horse race. And they're off. So the field widened last night, and I'm going to talk about that some in my monologue today, with Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida jumping into the presidential primary race for the GOP. So the race is underway, with the exception potentially of former Vice President Mike Pence. It looks like the field is full. So we'll see what happens. We don't know if Mike Pence is going to jump in, but he intones that he will. And if he does, we'll just add him to the queue. But right now, it looks like the slate is fairly full, and they are off. And then number three, have you looked around at some of the cities that went so woke? I mean, like, not like had, like, some, you know, liberal policies. I'm talking about they went absolutely woke. Well, the old phrase, go woke, go broke, may apply to cities as well. So number three on the Triple Dipper, with some of the laws they passed, I'm calling it, what did they expect? So we're going to talk about that in detail with some true examples and may bring it home a little bit here to Alabama. Number three on the Triple Dipper, what did they expect? All right, let me jump into my comments, and I'll just say this. Let the games begin. The Republican slate for the presidential nomination is now before us. With the exception, like I said a moment ago, of former Vice President Mike Pence, all of the names that we expected to see jump in have now officially done so. It's going to be a barnstormer, man. And it has some big personalities, some great thinkers, some dynamic resumes. It's definitely a slate to be proud of, to be honest with you, as we look at the stage and we see men and women of every color, every background and stature. We have leaders of industry, leaders of government on the GOP ticket right now. We have a first-generation American, at least one former great president, perhaps one former vice president, two governors, one senator. I mean, the outlook is strong. And yes, they are going to beat the crap out of each other for the next 9 months. I mean, they have to all be conservative and viable, but they also have to paint the others as being less conservative and viable. So I'm just telling you, all you ruffians out there listening, brace yourselves. It's going to be tiresome at times. At the end of it all, though, we're going to need to see one candidate who can take back this country, and we all have to get behind that person, whoever it is. But the duo that has the most attention right now, the battle royale, if you will, is the now burgeoning blood sport of Trump versus DeSantis. Well, this morning I made an appearance on another radio show in South Alabama to discuss the implications of Ron DeSantis jumping into the Republican presidential primary. I mean, Donald Trump is still the absolute front runner. The Trump machine is large and experienced, and they're not afraid to take the gloves off. In Alabama, Trump has been the man, with Alabama's 4th congressional district, where I live in the northern part of the state, having the distinction, the absolute distinction, of having the highest per capita vote for Donald Trump nationally in both 2016 and 2020. But it's not just in Alabama. I mean, nationally speaking, Trump still remains at the top of the ticket, and his campaign began taking active swipes at DeSantis over a month ago before he'd even declared himself officially as a candidate. So in the middle of that conversation on another radio show this morning, the question was posed to me, why wouldn't DeSantis just wait? Just wait 4 years, see what happens. Don't go through the pain and the ignominy of a political tussle. Just wait it out and then run without the Trump factor sniping at you every day. It's a fair question. And my answer to that is, because he believes the time is now. The absolute best time for DeSantis to make a go of it is right now. And I think he's right. And that's not an endorsement, by the way. It's just a fact. Me personally, I voted for Trump both times, and I'd be glad to have he and his policies back in place. But if I were DeSantis or one of his advisors looking at the big picture, I would have to say that the time is now for a DeSantis candidacy, and I'll tell you why. First of all, he's safe in a political sense. I don't mean safe like he's the safer candidate. I mean he's safe. He's safe politically. Ron DeSantis was just elected in a landslide re-election to serve 4 more years as governor of Florida. Running for president allows him to run, and if not successful, just go back to governing the great state of Florida for several more years. But if he waits until 2028 for his next opportunity, you know, just keeps his powder dry and runs the state of Florida for the next 4 years, well, he's term limited on that job, and he'll be out of office in 2026 with no way to keep doing what he believes he's called to do and having to wait until the 2028 election. Running right now, no harm, no foul to the political winds. He can keep his job even if he doesn't win the nomination for president. But here's the next point. He also has what I would call an immediate pedigree of political victories. You see, DeSantis has to contend with the fact that Trump has a world stage that he's served on, and that Trump's policies can be said to have been highly effective at both the domestic and the international levels. DeSantis has to contend with that. But DeSantis also has victories that are fresh. He just won overwhelmingly and has flipped much of Florida red in his most recent election last November, just a few months ago. He has fought woke policies very visibly, even stood strong against what many thought was the unstoppable force of fighting the biggest special interest in his state, Disney. And if he waits 4 years, even though more good things may happen between now and then, well, the surefire recent and very fresh victories that he have that show him to be a fighter, well, they could go stale and become old news. And truthfully, woke is the battlefield right now. Just look at Target. Look at Bud Light. Look at schools. Look at teachers' unions. Woke is the battlefield right now, and he has been fighting woke left and right. By the time 2028 gets here, it could well be redefined, and we'd have a new enemy on the political battlefield, and he will have lost the moment. Here's the other thing, though. The third point. DeSantis also has to deal with the fact that Trump might not win. Hear me out, because it's not a prediction. It's just a reality. Between all of Trump's legal battles, all of Trump's enemies, and the fact that Trump himself, even though he's in good shape for his age, is not much younger than Biden, anything could happen between now and the general election in 2024. So let's say DeSantis chose to lay low and just wait Trump out, and then Trump dies of a heart attack or something crazy like that. Well, somebody like Nikki Haley or Tim Scott could walk into the nomination, pick one of the others as a running mate, and own the White House for the next 8 years, and then it's not a 4-year wait, then it's an 8-year wait. So yeah, the time would appear to be now in that regard too. But lastly, and here's point number 4, inside the DeSantis camp, I have to take him at his word. I have to. He says he's a man with a mission, and that mission is geared to our current state of affairs, not to the state of affairs 5 years from now. In politics, timing is everything. But honestly, I would say that in life, in our calling, in our dealings with the issues before us, well, timing is everything. And I know that most of you know the story of Esther in the Bible. It was at a time when Israel was under persecution and Esther was taken to be a member of the king's court. But an edict was sent out. A trick had been played on the king, and the results of that trick resulted in an edict that could have dire, even deadly consequences and if they were carried out against the Jewish people. And Esther, she was Jewish, and she was in the king's harem. But even to speak out without permission could cause her to be executed. With that fear in mind and wondering if it was the right time, her father told her that timing was everything. So in Esther 4, her own father said, and here's the quote, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." For such a time as this. So I can't question what a man says his calling is. I also know that sometimes the calling is about the process as much as the outcome. And apparently Ron DeSantis, he believes as strongly about his calling being tied to such a time as this as anyone else in the race. So the bottom line is, whether you like him or not, he's in. And the candidates are underway. So, by God, let the games begin. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Timing is everything. You got to look at what's fresh and before you right now. And there's this premise in Scripture, too. The word is keros in the Greek. And keros means an opportune moment that God has designed for you to step into. So who am I to say? I mean, I'm all for Trump getting reelected, but I like Ron DeSantis too. This is going to be a battle, man. I'm thinking the others are just playing keep up right now. Such a time as this. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Hey, we got a brand new texter in the line already there, Boom. Mark from Huntsville, glad you're in there. Glad to see you. We'll get you plugged in, and I appreciate you giving me the heads up on that book. It looks like a good one. So I got to say, by the way, the text lines are open. You want to text in, join us, 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. So I won't go too deep into this right now, Boom, because it may or may not be a part of Boomer McQueen later on.
Okay.
All right. But so DeSantis did his rollout last night, his first foray into the public world. I mean, he did an immediate interview on Fox News. I saw that in detail. Mm-hmm. But he also did his first like announcement on Twitter, Elon Musk, and Twitter broke down.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They apparently, so I was on another radio show this morning,
yeah.
Archangel Radio down in Mobile, and they were asking about it. And I said, you can look at it two ways. One, I mean, he's being mocked by the competition right now. You blew your rollout.
Of course.
I think the other side of it, though, is the man had so many people want to see it that he broke the internet.
You can look at it both ways. At least he didn't just put out a video.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know what? That's funny you say that because. Because Joe Biden comes back and says, you know, I didn't break the internet. And I'm like, well, dude, that's because nobody wanted to see your video.
Exactly.
You're a little tacky. I'm in the basement, you know, doing my podcast announcement video. That's all that was.
I know.
All right. Hey, we'll talk about that more later when McQueen's here to fill in the gaps. But I got to ask you, though, Boom, do you see the other story, though? You know, we were talking yesterday about Target.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Target's having me a Bud Light moment.
I love it. Bud Light moment. They have become the moment.
Yeah. Somebody would say, They put a target on their own back. Ah!
Oh! Ah!
You see what I did there, right?
Yes.
Okay, I know you did. So story, though, on the New York Post is that their stock is tanking right now. I mean, this is a story that just came out today. And what we're looking at here, it says Target has lost, you ready for this?
Yeah.
$9 billion.
With a B?
With a B. $9 billion in market value in 1 week.
Wow.
$9 billion. They were selling their stock a week ago Wednesday. They were selling their stock at $160, almost $161 a share. They're down to $74 a share. Oh, wait, hang on. Is that wrong? No, I can't be right. $141 a share. They're down to $100. So they dropped like 12% stock value. It's a total tumble. And they're saying right now that it's equating to a roughly $9 billion loss in market value and that it's being listed as a volatile stock now.
Oh, wow.
So...
Man, I wonder if that person's still there that made those decisions. Those people. Because you know it wasn't just one.
No, well, probably not.
Right. And but they'll blame it on one.
Somebody's taking the fall. Somebody somewhere who had shares in Target is like, what in God's name just happened?
Yep.
Yeah. Watching their portfolio take a tumble, picking up the phone going, hey, I'm a majority shareholder. You and I are about to have a meeting. I'm coming to your freaking boardroom, and we're going to talk.
Man.
And when I get there, don't be wearing a tuck-friendly swimsuit. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the whole thing is this is a jacked up. You look at it and go, did they just think, I mean, did they feel so entitled to their wokeness that they just thought, this will go over well. This is great.
You know, we've talked about it before. It's like they're almost just blind to it. And they're just like, yeah, this will be fine. Everybody will accept it. And they found out that now they're the next Bud Light moment.
You know, here's the other thing, too. I said this yesterday. Bud Light moment. It occurs to me that they had to place these orders way in advance. I mean, all these orders and contracts that were put in place and everything else with the company that the Satanist-owned company that, you know, that.
Right.
Yeah. That did all these, gender-friendly children's, anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That those had to be placed way before the Bud Light can thing. And I am wondering if they would have done it had the Bud Light thing happened before they placed the orders.
But all they could have done is been like, oh, we see that this is about to happen. Let's just cut our losses and, throw away this, $5 million worth of product or whatever it is, $20 million worth of product versus $9 billion in market share. Don't you think that would have been a way better idea? And then just not even put it out on the shelves.
Your reasoning is solid.
But their reasoning.
That was a cogent analysis on your part. Maybe
nobody will notice. Maybe, yeah, think that's what right. They'll think. Maybe nobody will notice.
Shh, don't call attention to the large rainbow sign in the front of the lobby. Yeah. It ain't working, man.
Man.
They are tanking right now. $9 billion in market value for Target.
And this has only been less than a week.
I'm saying. Glad I don't own stock in Target.
Yep.
Got a Target on the back. Here, hold my beer. All right.
But not a Bud Light.
All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back. New discussion. Spend it like you got it. Debt ceiling. What does this mean? We'll talk about it. Y'all stay tuned.